Morning home delivery of the news the instant you want it. From KSTP, AM 1500.
Good morning. This is Michael O'Shea, along with John McDougall and John Farrell.
This morning's rush hour traffic generally moving well.
We have a very mild forecast here in the Twin Cities.
Good morning, America.
Police in Minneapolis are looking for a man. Right now, Ray Scott takes a look.
Good morning. Our sports presenter.
Morality and economics on the floor of the
news. The instant you want it. All news in the morning from KSTP. News Plus Radio 1500.
And what would be the first question you would ask that individual?
I heard you ask that of Pat Miles as I was driving down to the station this morning, and you allowed her to interview people.
Well, actually, I didn't lay out the condition of
smart
the person
lady,
not to be alive.
She?
Yeah, that's why she chose Abe Lincoln.
I don't know.
Okay, let's open it up. Anybody.
Thank you. I suppose it would, Dick. I'm fascinated by this era. It's World War II era. It's a historical watershed. It's affected all of our lives, some of us profoundly, even though some of us were born during that conflict. And, for example, I have the first name I do because of World War II. I'm named after an uncle who was a pilot who was killed. And that's a microcosm. There's so many cataclysmic events flowing from that conflict that I would like to talk with some of the grunts, not the Churchills, not the Stalins. I'd like to talk to some of the people who did the suffering.
Who didn't
maybe
come back.
Members of the French underground.
What would you ask them?
I would like to ask them if they viewed the conflict, if they viewed the principles for which they died as idealistically as I see it now, as I look back, not having been there, or if they felt it was just strictly a matter of survival today, or if they were fighting for a greater principle. We tend to romanticize history.
Agreed.
We color it.
And particularly
we distort
war.
It, but there were some truly heroic figures. And, Dick, the people I've met who have medals hanging from their chests, the real heroes, I think, say, this is symbolic. The real heroes are the ones who cannot talk to you today. You know,
why do you think, or what is it about Stan Turner that has made you a World War II buff? What's the inside? Why do you think that's the case?
Initially, it was the wonderment I had over this relative. I obviously never could meet him because I was born 5 months after he was killed, but I've always wondered, why did you name me after him, and who was he? What mm-hmm. was he like, and why did he die? What, you know, how did he get into this? From that, the perspective got broader and broader and broader, and I came to wonder, how did this confluence of people and events happen, this incredible conflict? It seemed as if it were unique. You can't use
would
that word
you
cheaply.
Wanted
this
to live
unique
during that day? Would you want to be one of those grunts?
I would like to have covered it. Now, here's where I want the best of both worlds. Oh. I would like to have been there, but covered it as an observer.
Do you have any heroes who are journalists or have been journalists?
Yeah, I do.
I've never asked you that before. Yeah. Who would it be?
I like the Murrows, the Severides. Severide is a fellow Scandinavian where, you know, we brood a lot. You know, he's always been criticized for, I guess he says, being arrogant. He said, if people only understood that Scandinavians are born to brood, we're insecure and we're shy.
Are you insecure?
I think I'm shy, and people might laugh at that, but I tend to be something of an introvert.
The Stan Turner off the air differs from the Stan Turner on the air specifically where?
Well, I don't know that it's all that different. There are many people who work in a business where, in an industry where they have to kind of come out of themselves just a bit.
Right.
I don't do a tap dance out there at night. I would not do that. I heard you talking to John Bachman about
Happy Chat.
Happy Talk.
Yeah.
I don't think you've seen much of that at all in this marketplace. There aren't, you know, in some markets, the anchor shoots the weather guy with a squirt gun and all that kind of inanity, and you don't see that sort of nonsense here on any of the stations. But Dick, here's the thing. People ask me, and getting back to you, I'm not trying to stray from your question. Why don't you smile more, Turner? Why don't you have more fun out there? Well, it's tough smiling through a double-axe murder, Dick. You can't laugh at those things. You can't laugh, you can't smile when Brezhnev is proposing a missile freeze, which our State Department considers to be a ploy to put us at a singular disadvantage in Europe. So when these transitional seconds, and they only are seconds, come mm-hmm. along where you can hand off to the weatherman or the sports guy, that's really your only opportunity.
To be human?
To be, well... I think we should be, hopefully, our human reading the news, but telling these events. But maybe there's a moment, a brief moment, second, where we can smile and relax.
My guess is Channel 5's anchorman, Mr. Stan Turner. The number is 646-8255-646-TALK.
Good morning. This is meteorologist Ron Trenda with your exclusive 1500 KSTP radar weather forecast. Well, we have some breaks in the clouds right now, but those breaks should be filling in over the next several hours. We're looking at an upper-level disturbance moving towards us from South Dakota. That'll give us a pretty good chance of some rain developing late this afternoon, possibly mixed with some snow at times tonight and tomorrow. The forecast calls for mostly cloudy skies this afternoon with a good chance of that rain developing late in the afternoon, becoming mixed with or changing to snow tonight. Highs this afternoon will be in the lower 40s, lows tonight in the lower 30s. Then variable cloudiness and mild tomorrow with a few flurries possible. Highs tomorrow in the upper 30s. Winds will be east to southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour this afternoon and tonight. That chance of measurable precipitation is 50% for late this afternoon and tonight. Currently, we have partly sunny skies, winds from the southeast at 7 miles per hour. Our temperature is 38, headed towards the lower 40s.
There's a place where seafood is celebrated.
Celebrate the Boston Sea Party. Celebrate the Sea Party Feast.
Boston Sea Party. Ours is a feast warmed by white linen and candlelight. A celebration of seafood that begins at buffet piers piled high with the ocean's bounty. Mounds of shrimp, caviar, seafood Newburgh, Alaskan crab legs. All you can eat for one price, including a main course of fresh Maine lobster, New York strip steak, or juicy prime rib of beef. There's a dessert pier, too, decked with fresh fruits, pastries, and wheels of cheese. Boston Sea Party. Make reservations and join the celebration. You'll be happy as a clam.
Celebrate a star-spangled party. A catch fresh and hearty. The Boston Sea Party.
A celebration of seafood served nightly from 5 p.m.
That's at 7801 Xerxes Avenue South, Bloomington.
Waterbed Gallery. Waterbed Gallery. Waterbed Gallery. We are waterbeds.
It's the Waterbed Gallery's annual Dollars and Cents Sale. That's S-E-N-S-E. Because for a limited time, you can buy a complete waterbed system, including stained and lacquered frame and headboard, for under $200. And that makes sense. Or choose from a wide array of soft ciders from as little as $349. You can even buy a complete oak bedroom by Bassett with soft cider, frame, headboard, dresser, hutch mirror, chest, nightstands, and lamps for just $59.95 per month, based on 10% down in 36 months. Now that really makes sense. 90 days interest-free to qualified buyers and no payments till June. Get your dollars making sense during our annual Dollars and Cents Sale, going on now at all three Waterbed Gallery locations, Hopkins, Brooklyn Park, and Roseville.
Waterbed Gallery, we are waterbeds.
11:27, 38 degrees, the Dick Pomerantz Program. My guest is Stan Turner from Channel 5. Good morning on KSTP.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask Stan one question.
Sure.
Does he believe that TV stations in general try and sell their news by sensationalism, and by that I mean by wordage? Example, there was an accident that happened in West Virginia that involved many Minnesotans. They came out with a one-minute brief of news, and they came out and says many Minnesotans injured in bus accident, more following at 10 o'clock. Now, if they say injured in an accident, if they would have came out and says, not seriously, or something of that nature, I think it would have created an atmosphere where people would not have fretted it as much, and maybe many phone calls and stuff had been saved because
interesting
of the
question. Mm-hmm. Interesting
it
question.
It is. Yeah. I appreciate the problem that you describe, sir. As I recall, this accident happened on a weekend. I wasn't around here at the time. But my guess would be, and it can only be a guess, was that that was the best information we had. It was fragmentary, to be sure, but it probably came to us via the AP or the UPI, the two major wire services, and that's all we had. It's our obligation to go ahead and report what we have. Hopefully, you will appreciate that all of the elements of a story cannot unfold at one instant. They unfold just by the nature of the way they happen. Even the authorities at the scene could not know the extent of injuries.
Okay.
I understand how apprehensive that can make you because, you know, we've all had friends or relatives who have fallen victim to such things.
Or we think they have fallen victim, and
we don't know.
We worry about it.
It's a terrible period of agony.
Would it not be better not to say anything?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Even if it's a lead-in or one of these news breaks?
The writer, the newscaster, has to be very careful. You don't want to be alarmist. If you only have fragmentary information, I think you want to qualify the story in such a way as that you say...
initial reports.
Initial reports indicate that there have been some injuries. We don't know the extent of them. We don't know how many Minnesotans are involved, but we'll have more complete information. Please stay with us, and do so in a calm, deliberate voice.
Appreciate the call, sir. Good morning on KSDP.
Mr. Pomerantz?
Yes, sir.
I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
I would first like to direct this to you. I think your program is very good.
Thank you.
Mr. Turner, I am just I'm not a resident of Minnesota. In the mountain regions where I live, we don't get this type of news coverage that you are giving. And I'm just down here vacationing. I really think you bring the news off very well. As a journalist, as you are being a journalist, I think you are very high at what you do on your job. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders when you are delivering the news to people. I do like the part where you said you would interview the grunt of the people during the Second World War, because it takes the grunt people to make the people that wear the medals on their chest where they are at. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And that's how I feel about it. And I wanted to ask this question of, what is it like to work with Cindy Brocato?
It's lovely. I mean it. I couldn't ask for a better partner. That's what I told Logan in the Star. And bless you, Joe, you printed it because it's true. She, she has many fine qualities, not the least of which, and what perhaps I admire the most, is that she cares about what she is putting over the air. She cares about the accuracy of it, the balance. She wears out a lot of pens rewriting some of the stories that are put in front of her just to make sure they're clearer or if she has any doubts about the accuracy. She will confer with the what we call the producer, the person who writes the newscast, who stitches it together, who determines story lineup. And so her focus is really on the substance, and she is a person of substance. And
do the two of you write your own newscast?
We don't. Dick, what we do is perform what would be the function of what would be a copy editor on a newspaper.
Okay.
That is, we take the copy from the reporters, from the writer, the producer, we call him, and we look it over for accuracy, balance, and the rest. We're kind of what Standard Oil calls the final filter before it goes into the gas tank. Okay?
Right.
And that means that obliges us to, we better darn well know what's going on that day.
John was asked this question, John Bachman, and I talked to Pat off the air about it. On the air, I'll ask you as well. The gentleman referred to the pressure of being an anchor person, and then if you can, relate that to ratings.
Mm-hmm.
On a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, do you feel it? And if not, do you, in a sense, envy yourself in a very good way that the large markets like L.A., where they do get the overnight ratings that Bachman referred to, they got to live with that on a nightly basis?
Mm-hmm. This so-called pressure of the ratings and the competition is a given. You go into this business knowing that. But then isn't that the case with any other industry?
There's a P&L
and P&L in everything you do.
Sure.
And, Dick, honestly, I don't feel any more pressure during a rating period than I do during a non-rating period. I feel that we're judged in the aggregate. That is, the totality of what we do. It's not going to be one night's newscast that's going to determine our fate. It's going to be how we are perceived over a period of time. How well do we do collectively as well as individually?
Do you feel more pressure as an anchorman than you did as a news director?
I feel a lot more serene about things being an anchor person. I really do.
I've been able to see that in your face.
Yes.
Why is that?
People say that.
Yeah, it's really true.
I think perhaps because I can...
Because you like wearing makeup.
I love it, yes, indeed. Just so I don't forget to take it off before I go out on the road. No, that's one of those strange little quirks of the business. You know, I better explain that, folks, before we go on. The lights are still very intense in this business, and it's flat lighting, and being a Northern European type like mine, I have that pool room pallor until the sun shines. We do have to put some makeup on to tone down the skin a little bit. Otherwise, it would kind of blanch out on the air a bit. So, yes, I do have to put that silly stuff on. But
I have one more comment.
Sure.
Okay, do you feel like my job, I feel like at times I am a celebrity. I build wooden boats, and I've built them for, one big boat was for John Denver.
Hmm.
Okay, now, do you feel yourself as a celebrity? On the air, and when you are off the air, how do you feel?
Good question. Good question.
Words carry certain connotations, and celebrity is one that carries a negative connotation with me. again, this brooding Scandinavian named Severide, I think, put it pretty well. He said, celebrity is being known just because you're known.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the inference
doesn't say anything about you.
No, there's nothing to do with, there's no qualitative judgment made there. I don't live in this business to walk into a restaurant and turn heads. I take it as a compliment if somebody comes over and says hello or wants to know a little bit more about me or what we do. You can't be indifferent to the attention. I take it as a compliment, basically. It's not an intrusion.
You comfortable with it?
Most of the time, yes, because people are nice. I don't find... rarely do you find anyone who's boorish and rude. Constructive criticism is always welcome, too.
Appreciate the call, sir.
Thank you.
646-8255. You are single?
Yes.
A single father?
Mm-hmm.
One, is there greater attention, even from your children's peers or your child's peers, on your children because you are who you are? And secondly, how do you pick and choose the dates, as I asked Pat, who you know are interested in you, Stan mm-hmm. Turner, and not Stan Turner, Anchorman, blah, blah, blah?
Ladies and gentlemen, as Dick Palmer has to say, that's two questions. Now, the first.
Yes.
They're good questions. My daughter is subjected to a great deal of teasing. Not all of it's negative. She's kidded a lot about it. For example, the kids will say to her, I never watch your dad, but why did he say that last night when he was talking to Cindy Brucato? And she's amused by that because she knows that they're watching, and they find it novel. It's unusual, I guess.
Do they see Mr. Turner as a star?
Some of them do. Laura, my daughter, told me that they're convinced that I drive a Rolls Royce, and gee, Dick, I haven't driven a Rolls Royce in years.
Even with the mega bucks that you're making?
No way. I like my Ford. I'm very happy with it. So she takes, the expected kidding, but her schoolmates find it interesting, unusual. So, like I say, she's accommodated to that very well. She loves to come down here. She often comes down here on Friday nights with me.
You're very close with her.
Very. We're pals as well as
That's
father
terrific.
And daughter. Yeah, very close. The second part of your question, how do I differentiate between somebody who might want to associate with me because of the business I'm in as opposed to the person that I am?
Yeah.
That's a judgment call like we all have to make. And it is an added burden.
You do see it as a burden?
Well, in the sense that you better be sensitive. I guess what we have to do is, in order to protect our own feelings, is to scrutinize an individual maybe a bit closer than you would if you worked in a different capacity.
Are you ever fearful of opening yourself up to someone you're becoming close with for fear that if they knew or someone else knew what Stan Turner really believes or thinks inside, in that gut, in that emotions, they would say, God, this person's on television.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever worry about something like that?
I have to be absolutely convinced that this person is trustworthy. I tend to keep my personal feelings to myself, even with some friends. It takes me a while before I'll share. But I have to trust. I don't want people to hear and go tell. Not because what I have to say about my inner self is so profound and important. It's just because that...
You're private.
Yes, we all are. I'm not unusual.
I agree. The number is 646-8255.
Why not make spring extra special this year with a new Racquet Club membership to Lilydale, Como, and Phelan Clubs? Be good to yourself. Have fun, too. 7 days a week. Good times are only a phone call away at 457-4954. And if you act now, you can save 40%. Best of all, tennis and racquetball players will find their new membership brings them free gifts, like a new Prince tennis racket and club athletic bag. Or ask about the $20 tennis special. 6 hours of instruction with a pro, daytime and evening hours available. Call 457-4954.
Dayton's Electronics Department brings you technology to delight the eye, extend the ear, expand the mind. TVs, stereos, video games, computers, calculators, and more, all in one place.
This week at Dayton, saving the RCA video cassette recorder with infrared remote control. Now on sale for $9.69. Or the RCA portable VCR and camera package. Now sale priced at $18.99 at Dayton's.
Dayton's Electronics Department, where technology comes to your senses.
Today on the Dr. Marilyn Mason Program.
Conflicting values, new ethics, moral choices. Can you sort out your own choices from society's decisions? We'll discuss dealing with your values today.
Dr. Marilyn Mason this afternoon at 12:30 on KSTP News Plus Radio 1500.